Welcome to The Debate. Today, we are looking at the recent FDA safety alert regarding raw oysters from British Columbia's area, BC 1720. So we're talking about premium brands here, like Stellar Bay and Kushi, which have recently been linked to a pretty massive multi-state norovirus outbreak. At the core of our discussion today is that tension between highly controlled premium aquaculture and pathogen vulnerability. I'm taking the position that the intensive management of these cultivation environments actually creates a dangerous false sense of security.
And I come at it from a completely different way. I'm arguing that the specialized farming techniques used for these oysters are optimized entirely for culinary traits, not viral mitigation. What we are seeing is simply the inescapable biological reality of raw bivalves intersecting with massive, complex distribution networks.
Let's look at the cultivation method itself. These oysters are treated like prima donnas. They are raised using a deep water tray suspension method. So they spend their entire lives protected from benthic risks. Mud, sand, bottom-dwelling predators, even typical concentrations of Vibrio. Yet despite isolating them completely from the ocean floor, we are looking at an outbreak spanning harvests from December 22nd, 2025. All the way to February 4th, 2026. This extensive contamination window shows that engineering a pristine environment just doesn't mitigate severe pelagic viral loads.
I mean, that's a compelling argument, but have you considered that deep water suspension was never meant to be a biosecurity measure in the first place?
It is absolutely marketed as pristine, though.
Sure, marketed for taste. Tumbling in suspension yield a deeper cup, a sweeter flavor profile, stronger shells. But bivalves pump gallons of water through their gills every single day. Suspending them higher in the water column might avoid benthic bacteria. Yeah, but norovirus particles are highly resilient. Because they lack a lipid envelope, they readily circulate and survive in pelagic zones, especially in those near-freezing winter waters of British Columbia. You can't culinary engineer your way out of the bioaccumulation rates of viral pathogens in bivalve tissue.
I'm not convinced by that line of reasoning, mostly because you cannot decouple the premium branding from the safety expectations. The FDA is reporting severe illness profiles, dehydration, vomiting across 10 states. When a cultivation method isolates a product to create a supposed prima donna oyster, it inadvertently creates a concentrated monoculture. By perfectly clustering them in these deep water trays to protect those delicate shells, you are packing them into a high-density matrix. If a viral load enters that specific suspended system, it sweeps through completely undetected. And the sheer scope of this event spanning over a month points directly to a systemic vulnerability at the source.
But is it exclusively a continuous source issue, or are we looking at compounding downstream failures? Look at the FDA-specific traceback methodology and their explicit warnings to retailers regarding cross-contamination.
You mean the directives about sanitizing cutting surfaces and shucking utensils?
Exactly. We are talking about distribution across 10 states, from California to New York to Hawaii. The cold chain logistics required to transport raw seafood across those distances without a single temperature excursion or handling error are staggering. The vulnerability isn't necessarily sitting in the BC 1720 water column for two straight months. It could easily be the logistical reality of retail handling practices once these oysters reach distant, overlapping markets.
That's an interesting point, though I would frame it differently. A contaminated shucking knife at a raw bar in Manhattan doesn't explain a two-month continuous source issue originating from a single harvest zone in British Columbia. We have multiple premium brands affected: Kushi, Chrome Point, Stellar Bay Gold, all pulling from the exact same highly managed harvest area between December and February. That temporal spread strongly suggests the suspension environment itself harbored the viral persistence.
I'm sorry, but I just don't buy that. Let me tell you why. Viral persistence in cold marine environments is absolutely a factor. But when multiple brands are distributed through overlapping wholesale channels, cross-contamination at regional distribution hubs becomes highly probable. The FDA recall highlights systemic handling risks precisely because viral particles transfer so easily between batches during sorting and wet storage long after they have left those suspension trays.
I see why you think that, but let me give you a different perspective. Even if we factor in regional distribution hub transfers, the traceback still explicitly grounds zero-point contamination at the BC-1720 harvest site. While cold chain logistics are undeniably complex, and we both recognize the profound vulnerability of raw seafood in a national supply chain, the primary failure remains at the source. When the aquaculture industry engineers these highly isolated, suspended environments, the resulting matrix remains critically vulnerable to prolonged viral contamination, something that the pristine marketing entirely obscures.
And I stand by the view that premium labels guarantee a specific culinary experience, not biological immunity. Whether it is winter viral persistence in the water column or secondary cross-contamination at a massive sorting facility, the outbreak reflects the fundamental realities of scaling raw bivalve consumption across thousands of miles. Biology always dictates the baseline risk.
It is a multi-layered issue, right at the exact intersection of engineered aquaculture and public health. We encourage our listeners to dive into the FDA traceback reports and examine the source data on marine viral loads for themselves. There's certainly much more to explore here. Thank you for joining us on the debate.